Everett. There's a short season A team baseball league called the Aqua Sox, which I always thought was just a funny name. We were talking about this. But Becky, you said that's actually a thing. Like, Aqua Sox is actually something you have.
Yes, I think Mike brought that up. Aqua Sox are indeed the funny, spongy shoes that you wear to protect your feet as you go swimming in rough terrain.
Because you're a big baby.
Yeah, because you might get pool scurvy or something like that. I don't know how that works.
I think it's to prevent yourself from slicing up your feet on discarded shells and beach glass and stuff like that.
Fair enough.
Welcome back. I think it's because you want to have a bully kick sand at you.
So you can send away for the Charles Atlas seal of approval or
insights
whatever.
Into Mike's childhood.
Well, it's a comic book thing, of course. Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. My name is Sam. With me, this is a configuration that has not been seen for a while. Hello, Becky.
Hi, Sam.
And Mike, how are you doing this week?
Hey. Okay, I guess.
Okay, you guess.
He's still recovering from the sand.
So there is this news story right now that, I mean, everybody's talking about it, but I gotta get my licks in on this one because, oh boy. After being arrested in a sting operation for soliciting a hitman to murder his wife, founder and lead singer of the Christian rock band As I Lay Dying, Tim Lambesis, has come clean that he has actually been an atheist since college and only professed a belief in God to sell records. Lambesis went on to state that the vast majority of Christian rock band members are not true Christians, estimating only 1 in 10 bands he has toured with were actually Christian bands.
Hey, there's money there. I mean, I'll say this. It is hard as any kind of artist whatsoever to find a niche.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that you're like, okay, this Christian thing is still working. And maybe they believed it at the beginning, but do you really want to start all your promotion all over again? It's funny because I'm looking at the way that Christian websites like Christian Post and others are reacting to this as if the Christianity has now been exonerated from having bad people in it. No one, no, it hasn't. And as if somehow, oh, well, see, he was an atheist, so that's why he wanted to put a hit out on his wife. And it's amazing the games of no true Scotsman that are being bandied about.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He could have just said he wasn't a Christian or something like that, or he had fallen away from his faith. And because this is a common trope in fundamental Christianity is if you screw up, you say, oh, I've fallen away from God. I need to be brought back or saved again and be absolved of responsibility, etc. etc. But this guy went like straight up to
conspiracy to commit murder.
Yeah, conspiracy to commit murder, and then said, "Oh, well, that's because I was an atheist." The problem here is
I don't know. He said that he did it because he was an atheist.
He's
I think that this is other people taking a read on this.
Yeah.
If the guy's an atheist and he says, "Yeah, actually, I don't actually believe in this stuff. I really was just trying to keep my music career going."
I must disagree.
Saying it. I'm not seeing him say that anywhere. He's just saying I wasn't this whole time.
He doesn't have to say it. That's the thing, is this is such a common trope in Christianity that I have fallen away from the faith in order to be absolved and continue my career. I must be brought back to the faith.
I'm just not reading it in there. I mean, he's going to go to jail regardless.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think any I'm sorry speech from this guy, bet return to Jesus, is going to save this guy's career anyways. But the thing that I find interesting about this isn't necessarily that, because this isn't just a game of line up all the good people, line up all the bad people, let's find out how many Christians and atheists we have.
Right.
Because that's irrelevant. What it comes down to is, why did somebody do X? Why did they do this bad thing? Jails are full of Christians.
Right.
Just based on the numbers. There are so many Christians in prison.
And
overwhelming numbers. However, how many of those Christians are in jail because of something that has something to do with their religion? I'd say very few.
Yeah.
Same thing with atheists.
I really hate the argument that that atheists are so moral because there are so few of us in prison. It's such a ridiculous argument.
There's actually been a very pointed article that was written by Hina Dadaboy about that specific thing, saying, hey, you know what? This is a matter that is much more nuanced than just the percentage of believers versus atheists that happen to be in the prison population because of the way the prison population doesn't reflect it.
I'm expecting him that he's thinking right now. I'm sorry. All I'm seeing here is this guy trying to position himself. He's going to go to jail. and then he's going to get out, and then he's going to do the Mike Wernicke talk show or talk circuit in church saying, I was bad because I left Christianity.
The real question there will be, is he actually trying to come back to Christianity, or is he still just trying to sell more records?
I don't know that he ever actually... maybe he didn't really think about his belief, but I think I don't know that he, you know, I'm going to go.
I'm actually going to believe his story on this because of one thing, is that we've had these conversations like Jennifer Fulweiler or any of these ex-atheists that we see, and all you have to do is look at their story and say, does this sound like every other person that I've ever heard who goes through the same experience of leaving religion? This guy tells the same kind of story that people like, say, Rich Lyons and other people in the Clergy Project talk about, which is that I had this question and I started studying it and I found that it didn't hold water and it fell apart. That's not the same thing as Mike Wernicke, who has to make up this whole fake subculture of like human sacrifice in America.
Yeah.
This does not feel fake. I just think he happens to be a terrible human being who is an atheist. I don't see him trying to shovel atheism onto his attempted murder.
I disagree in the strongest terms.
What's going to be interesting to look for is we do know that people do get early release and parole and things like that when they say, I am so much more reformed because I am now a believer. I have come to Christ. And that's something that is very potent and very relevant in terms of when people do get released. So that's what I'm going to be interested in looking at and following.
Yeah, the most part, when people say I'm an atheist, I believe them. You know, and I'm not necessarily saying that everybody in a Christian band is a Christian. I know better than that.
Yeah.
I know Chad, who is in a Christian band as an atheist, as an avowed atheist. But this one just seems like really dark. This one feels like social positioning to me. I can't. The timing of it all and what's being said about him and the whole story, the whole As I Lay Dying story, which I've been following for some time, this just seems like really bitter positioning to me.
I disagree on the fact that I see the positioning stuff happening from Christian Post and Charisma and all these magazines.
Right.
They do that for a living, though. It doesn't matter whether religion is a part of the story or not.
Well, so did he at that point. He's got to know how these things are going to report
on him. I don't care
what
the press is saying. I'm looking at the story. Yeah.
That's the only place I see this stuff happening. With him, though, however, he just seems to be a scumbag who tried to have his wife murdered.
Right.
If he wasn't in a Christian band, we wouldn't even be talking about this story.
No.
If he was just in a band and he happened to be a Christian...
Yeah, but the thing, the fact that he's talking about it afterwards and stuff, and the whole idea that there's a lot of Christians and there's a lot of atheists in Christian music, I don't disbelieve that. There's a whole reason the Clergy Project exists. But again, looking at what he's saying,
although it's not to help ex-band members.
No. It's certainly not to give an out to attempted murderers either.
Maybe, yeah, all right, but... I'm not saying this guy is not guilty. We're walking in the door saying
he was caught in a sting operation.
He was caught in a sting operation.
That's about as guilty as you can get.
We're walking in the door saying that this guy tried to get his wife killed. Okay, that's not up for debate. It wouldn't bother me if he really was an atheist. I mean, it would bother me, but I would believe it. And I know that there are atheist and humanist prisoners, you know, convicts in the prison system. This one to me this one does not pass the smell test for me.
I guess if I was going to go down the Mike Wernicke path, he would already be planting the seeds in his motivation, saying that his wife is a real Christian and he couldn't hand it, so he had to kill them for Satan or something.
Well, he's going to prison for a while. He's got the time to slow play it.
Oh, yeah, but he would have put it out right now. It says, well... Yeah. Obviously, I'd read this Dawkins book, and I realized she had to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a kind of weird mythology that people who don't know atheists but want to pretend to be us or try to use the status as an ex-atheist,
right?
That's a kind of made-up, weird Temple of Doom-style executions that they come up with because their perception of us is so warped because they don't think of us as other human beings. They think of us as a character in a mythology.
Yeah.
That we're like Sauron's minions, so we have to be capable of... When you don't think of somebody as a person and you don't have a real-life human example of them, and we've seen this with the gay rights movement, you can say the most horrible things about
people.
Because
you're not hurting anybody.
Because you don't actually have to say, oh, and I actually know a guy who works at the bank who happens to be an atheist or happens to be gay, so that they can be these monsters. And that's why, you know, we talk about things like coming out and being open about what you are when it's safe.
Yeah.
is important.
But I'm speaking as somebody who, when somebody tells me they're an atheist, whatever their story is, I generally believe them. I do. And in this case, all I'm saying is that this feels like positioning to me. It's not passing the smell test. Later data may prove me wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm willing to be open to it, but this just looks really positioned to me. This looks really cooked. Now, we mentioned something, the clergy project. Should there be, given that he's saying this, and I don't disbelieve him, that there's a lot of atheists in the Christian rock scene, much like the clergy project, should we have a similar project for Christian musicians, maybe call it the Creed project?
I've got the solution. If you are in a Christian band, and you find yourself not believing anymore, but you are still a musician, now you're hard on your luck and you can't make it, become a Canadian citizen, because Canada funds musicians and you have to be on the radio and things like that. That's great.
You completely missed the Creed project. I think that's great. We should call it the Creed project.
But here's the other thing, and I think this does have a connection to Creed, which is, what if you're no good?
Yeah.
And
That does not negate my solution.
That
I love
guy's
Canadian
really good
musicians,
at,
but fine.
I once had a friend who was an evangelical Christian who said that he won't go to a business that puts up the Jesus fish or pushes that as a part of, you should buy our album, we're totally Christian. Because sometimes he said, and this is a Christian who told me this, said that people hide behind that logo so they can give you substandard service.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'll fix your car, but not really, but I'm a Christian. And I'd rather have, as my friend said, I'd rather have a Satanist dentist who got me a painless root canal than I would to have to go to somebody who's hiding behind something like that, where I should want his business regardless of his affiliation.
Now, from something that I think is positioning to something that is most definitely positioning, Mars Hill Church pastor Mark Driscoll recently urged his congregation to avoid internet sites that may have a critical view of the Seattle-based megachurch. Recently, Mars Hill Church official removed 6 minutes of video from one of Driscoll's sermons about mistakes. Mars Hill Church and Driscoll have been under scrutiny since a plagiarism scandal broke earlier this year. Driscoll is quoted as saying, "Love Jesus, read your Bible, stay off the internet. It's all shenanigans anyway." I agree. What I do is basically shenanigans.
Here's the other thing about Mars Hill. It's not just a plagiarism scandal that's been going on. There's been a rash of these shunned church members and church officials, sort of these sub-pastors, that are alleging this atmosphere of coercion, of bullying. It's awful. And there's lots of sort of blogging networks that are really coming to light with a lot of this sort of behavior. That's one of the real reasons that Driscoll says, hey, stay off the internet. Don't read this bad stuff about me.
With the stay off the internet stuff, the question about whether or not Mars Hill is a cult, if that is a question in your mind, that should be answered now.
Because one of the
things involved with being in a cult is, don't seek outside information. We have the truth. We are the sole purveyors of the truth. Anybody who says anything, the real life is bad, stay away, insist inside of our little mega church.
Yeah, I think that should you seek outside information? Yes, for everything.
Yeah.
You should also have a critical eye towards that outside information and towards that. The question shouldn't be, is this site critical of Mars Hill? The thing should be, does this criticism have merit?
Right.
Because given the fact that these people are in Mars Hill Church, what if in that criticism they see and go, wow, that is true, and other people are experiencing the same thing I am.
Exactly.
That I had that same bullying moment, or that one lone moment where you were threatened to have your community ripped away from you unless you got in line with the doctrine. They go, wow, he does that to other people too? That wasn't this lone thing? That wasn't a bad day? That's official policy of this church? I gotta get out of here.
This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're gonna go to a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Dave Moscato of American Atheists about their new television project.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Psst. Hey, I know that we all slip up sometimes, but not knowing your STD status at all, not a smart move. Did you know that STDs can even be transmitted through oral sex alone? Yeah, worried yet? With STDHomeTestKit.com, everything you need is shipped to you, where you'll have results in the comfort of your own home in less than 10 minutes. Be certain of your status with STDHomeTestKit.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
There was so much show this week that I forgot to hit Peggy's challenge and tell you about all the great people who helped us keep the lights on this week. I'd like to thank David from Geneva, Florida, Rick from Elma, Washington, Zachary from Sterling, Virginia, and Chris from Sioux City, Iowa, who writes, "Love the show. Hope to see you guys on the road again someday. Had a lot of fun at the Sioux Falls show and the after party." And yeah, I remember it very fondly. I do, that the Sioux Falls trip.
Oh, and it was really just so much fun meeting Chris and James in person. They were actually instrumental in helping us get to Sioux Falls, so right back at you.
Yeah. If you would like to help us keep the lights on, you can meet Peggy's challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help us keep going. Every dollar you give goes to production of the show. If you'd like to contribute, go to our website at askanatheist.tv and click on the yellow button. Now back to the actual show. Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. Man, the old number just had a beat to it that I just can't match with the new one.
Well, you did it for 3 years.
I did it, yeah, for 3 years. And just every time I feel myself, you know, it's doing the show intro as a way to center myself. And then when the phone number changes, I go, oh, right. Joining us now is Dave Moscato. He's the Public Relations Director for American Atheists, an activist organization debuting the Atheist TV channel via the internet streaming service Roku this summer. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. So, at the very start, what is... we've heard a lot about this project called Atheism TV. What is it?
Okay, Atheist TV is just very simply the world's first TV station, TV channel, dedicated to atheist content. So, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of TV channels dedicated to religious programming, to mostly, yeah, televangelists and Christian programming and things like that. This is going to be exclusively atheist content with an exclusively atheist audience. Anybody can watch it, but everything is going to be geared toward atheists.
So, I hear this name Roku. What exactly is Roku, and how can people get this exactly?
Roku is kind of like a cable box. It plugs directly into your television, and it gets its signal from your Wi-Fi network. So it's a competitor to like a Google Chromecast or something like that. And you just watch it on a regular TV. You can also watch it on the internet, but it's a little device. It looks like a USB thumb drive. You have to have a TV that is enabled with HDMI like that. But it's a one-time cost. There's not like a monthly subscription or anything like that. You just buy the device off the internet, Roku.com or Amazon or a couple of other places sell them, and plug it in. and you're all set up, you watch the channel from there.
So is this a platform that just happens to be easiest to debut with, or are there, you know, any plans to make it available like on Apple TV or via Chromecast, like you mentioned?
Right now, no. We had a donor who was interested in setting up this program with us, and we explored several different avenues, and the easiest way and the quickest way to get this going was through Roku. It's possible that we'll expand this to some other services, such as Google Chromecast and Apple TV and Hulu and other places like that, but right now we're just through Roku, and also it'll be available on our website.
Very cool. So a lot of people are going to hear Atheist TV and they're going to think, you know, this is going to be a lot of debates or going back and forth and you basically saying this is why religious beliefs are silly the whole time. I imagine there's going to be more to it than that. What is the programming on Atheist TV going to look like?
All sorts of different things. We will have debates, but we'll also have, the same types of things that people ask. You know, when you say, like, well, why do you go to an atheist convention? I mean, what do you do there? Just talk about how there's no God? You know, it's so much more than that. It's true. That's a common question that we get.
Oh, yeah.
It's philosophy. It's science. It's current events and politics. It's, all sorts of conflict resolution type things. A million different things. It's really almost no end to this. There's documentaries. There's we have call-in type shows, like, for example, the Atheist Experience. We've signed on with the Atheist Community of Austin. They're going to be providing that content for the channel. There's a show called The Atheist Viewpoint that American Atheists produces in-house that we're going to be showing on there. It's a talk show format. There's also Atheist Hangouts with host David Viviano, where he brings on famous atheists for basically an Ask Me Anything type of program where people tweet in their questions live over Twitter, and then they answer them on the air. Some of the guests that he's had in the past, like Sean Carroll, is coming up, Greta Christina, Lawrence Krauss, a bunch of different people. It's a great show, and that one actually is going to be live as opposed to on demand or pre-recorded.
That's really, really cool. Some commenters at American Atheists and some other websites that have been talking about this have been requesting some things like Scooby-Doo or the Magic School Bus or Curious George. Are there any plans for kid-friendly programming that really helps children develop some good reasoning and inquiry skills?
We would love to do that. Right now, we are working on getting together content to put on this channel. There's a huge demand for comedy-type content, especially, and for children's programming, because there's really nothing like that available on regular TV right now. Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of comedians that do, you know, atheist comedians that do that type of comedy. But when they're on mainstream television, sometimes they have to temper that kind of stuff, or especially language type of things, just because, you know, they don't want to piss off advertisers and things. With our channel, all of our viewers are atheists. None of us are going to get pissed and write into this station and say, you know, if you have that comedian back on, and advertisers won't be pulling out, because we know in advance what this is. The way that this channel is set up right now, it's a lot of documentaries, it's a lot of stuff from, Richard Dawkins' Study for Reason and Science, the shows that I already mentioned. But we hope to add a lot more content like what you're talking about soon.
So the press release also mentions that new content creators will also receive programming for the channel. Are you going to be picky about what content you use? Because there is a lot of atheist and non-atheist content on the internet. And let's be fair, it isn't necessarily well-produced or accurate. So is there a minimum standard that a new producer would have to meet to appear on Atheist TV?
Yes. There's the technical standards as far as being broadcast quality and so on, but we also vet each program and curate the experience for our viewers at our discretion. The people who do Atheist TV in-house for us are going to be deciding this type of thing. Well, there's actually two sides to Atheist TV as far as how this works. There's the on-demand side, which I don't want to say that we're less discerning about, less discriminating about, but there's a lot of stuff on there that would not be appropriate as far as the length of it or the format of it or whatever for the on-air schedule. So the on-demand side works just like Netflix or anything like that. You know, you pull up a playlist and you choose what you want to watch, and you can pause it and whatever and watch it whenever you want.
So it really seems like steam engine time. When mm-hmm. the first press release for Atheism TV came out, you would not believe the response that we got. It's like, oh, are you guys going to be on Atheism TV and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Eh, we're a radio show. But what's the response from the community been? Does it really feel like we've hit a point where Atheism TV is gonna land really big?
It's really quite possible. I mean, just the response from this that we've had from the news, when we announced this, we announced that we are going to launch later this summer. We did announce that we're launching. We haven't actually even set a date yet for the launch. And the day that this news came out, it was in every major newspaper, USA Today and Washington Post and all the big ones. And Dave was invited onto MSNBC, onto Ron and Farrell's show, to talk about it. And remember, this was just saying that we're going to be announcing this, like not even picked a date yet. So I think it's fair to say that when we actually launch, this is going to be a big event.
So David Silverman, your president, has said that mm-hmm. the channel will be initially inaccessible to about 7 million households. How many do you estimate will be able to tune in?
The way this works, to watch it on your TV through Roku, you have to buy a Roku box. The little thumb drive looking device. And about 7 to 8 million people own those. So those people will be able to do it right away. We are also making this available streaming through our website for anybody, whether you have the device or not. And then it's, whoever wants to come to our website and tune in. So the potential audience for this through Roku is 7 to 8 million and anybody who has the internet beyond that through our website.
So what are your metrics for success here? Where do you see Atheist TV being a year from now, for instance?
It's really the sky's the limit. I mean, we're going to start, we are playing with the idea of having paid ads and having this be like a regular TV channel that pays for itself in that way. Right now, we don't have paid ads. Right now, it's donor-supported. But if this gets the kind of attention that we think it's going to and it has a regular audience of steadily new content that people like to tune in and watch, we expect this to be a competing regular channel, and especially if it makes financial sense for us to do so, and we can start introducing it on other methods of viewing. For example, I mentioned, Hulu and Apple and Google Chromecast and stuff like that. It'll be a lot easier for lots of people to watch.
Heck, with all the religious satellites in the air, I certainly wouldn't mind Atheism TV being carried on a bird.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we've actually spoken to a satellite company that contacted us about the possibility of doing that. We're not set up to do that right now, but that is a possibility for the long term.
So I wanted to ask a little bit more about your target audience, because initially you said, mm-hmm. well, everyone that's going to be watching this is an atheist, so you don't have to worry about them being, comedians, for instance, monitoring their or tempering their message and things like that. Do you see non-atheists watching anything here, and do you expect that the perception of atheists might change based on who tunes in?
Yes, I do expect a lot of people who are not atheists to watch this. We've gotten a lot of interest from conservative religious media outlets about the fact that we're launching this channel. So I think that is something that is going to interest people on the right and the religious right as well. It's kind of hard to say, what kind of people will watch different shows just because it's all sorts of different content. Somebody who's interested in watching, a Q&A session with Greta Christina is not necessarily the same type of person who's going to want to watch Chris Cluey, the football player, give a talk, recorded at an American Atheist convention or something like that about compassion. But it just depends on the programming, and it might very well have an influence on the way that people see atheists in general. I want to be clear that Atheist TV is not American Atheists. American Atheists is very hardline in our approach to atheism. We say religion is a scam, that it's harmful. No bones about it. That's the opinion of American Atheists, and that's the way we present it. Atheist TV is a channel that produces that broadcasts atheist content, and that covers the whole gamut of different types of views about atheism. So some of it will be more humanist-centered and take that approach, and some of it will be more hardline. But it's a separate approach from American Atheist.
You know, your press release mentioned that you had recently digitized 50 years of TV appearances from Atheist, even including Madeline Murray O'Hare, you know, Slain founder. What sort of spurred that project, and was that aligned with this debut of Atheist TV?
That actually was independent of this. So we received from a donor funds to completely redo our in-house studio for the show The Atheist Viewpoint that we shoot in New Jersey at our headquarters that we've, for the last 20 years, been broadcasting on public access channels around the country. Currently, it's available, that show, on about 50 channels nationwide, and the model that we want to do is take that off of public access TV and put that on to Atheist TV. That show, we have, decades worth of footage that was just on tapes sitting around. We had a donor, as I mentioned, give us funding to completely redo our studio, and part of that was digitizing all of this backlog of footage so that we can make it available on our YouTube channel. And then this idea for Atheist TV came along, and we thought, well, we have all of this content, not just 20 years of this show that Madeline hosted, it has had several other hosts in between then and now, but also all of her media appearances going back to the 1960s, and media appearances from all sorts of other things, talks from past conferences and talks from the Reason Rally and all of this stuff. It's all digitized now, and we have this available that's going to be on demand for the channel as well.
So one of the things I noticed with these religious channels, the hundreds of religious channels that you mentioned, is that they aren't just, I guess they could, let's be generous and say nonfiction content that they have on there that's usually people talking about Jesus or giving sermons or shows like the 700 Club that, yeah, that's probably the lion's share of what they do, but they also have dramatic presentations as well, like movies that are produced by Rick Santorum or whatever. Is there a, well, they are.
Yeah.
Is there any movement or desire from Atheist TV to produce dramatic content as well as nonfiction content?
Uh-oh.
I don't know if Dave is with us still.
Yeah, I think we might have lost him.
I think that that's a really, really cool idea, Mike, that you have. But the other thing is that giving that 50 years of footage, that digitized footage, that can really help anchor the free thought movement in the United States sort of in the historical background around it. I think that there's so many people that are sort of thinking about atheism or humanism in a really new context, but being able to see, hey, this goes back to the 60s and what kind of rich, it goes back before the 60s, but it's a really rich kind of kind of history that we've had. You had, you know, humanists and atheists involved in 1960s activism and civil rights movement and all sorts of things like that. So that would be something that is kind of new that isn't necessarily widely seen via YouTube channels necessarily.
Oh yeah, I agree that's important to have that. It gives this series the channel a real anchor. But I guess what my question is sort of based out of is that, are we going to be the Atheist C-SPAN, or is there going to be something on there to tie it together? I mean, even things like the Bill Nye Scooby-Doo Magic School Bus is something that, or, you know, a really good example of this is, you know, I don't know. Are there more skeptic shows on TV or shows that have a skeptic or atheist bent to them? And sometimes, like House, for instance,
right.
House MD, that's a show where the lead character is an atheist and these issues pop up a lot. Of course, he's kind of intolerable to be around, and you wouldn't want to take a car ride with Dr.
Slightly
House.
More tolerable is Dr. Temperance Brennan of Bones.
I was wondering if you were going to mention that, because that show, I don't watch it, but it does seem to have a bit of a skeptic bent on it.
Just
it?
A bit. She's an avowed atheist married to a Catholic, and
okay,
it's,
but
that
she's
comes
also,
up all the time, yeah.
This is a trope that kind of bothers me. She's also a little on the crazy side, though, isn't she?
She's on the robot side, yeah.
Yeah, so she's a robot, and House is a heroin addict. I mean, and that's why I think stuff like Atheism TV might... Is sort of important, and it goes right to the heart of why we do this show.
But I think having a character who has flaws isn't necessarily a thing. We've had these arguments in the stuff that I do. I do a lot of pop culture nerd stuff, and we talk about what makes a strong character, and I've seen this before, that a strong character isn't necessarily that the character is a role model in every single way, because that usually makes the character less interesting, unless they're surrounded by other people to contrast against. But my goal isn't to create this perfect atheist role model hero character. who's never wrong about anything.
No, but so I think in the media, what you have is a reflection of how people think about atheism.
Absolutely.
But it goes back and forth. It's a two-way street.
Yeah,
the fact of the matter is all the atheists that people think, when people think atheists in media, they think of a heroin addict and a robot. They don't think of humans like us.
Oh, they shouldn't only be that. I agree with you there.
They could also be people that order hits on their wives.
Yeah.
And sing in Christian bands.
See, that's a well-rounded character.
Flawed and all, yes.
But yeah, I think that there's something to it. And I think the real importance of having fictional stuff on there, too, is that not everybody is interested in watching TED Talks. And I think that having a dramatic presentation as well is honestly the only way some people hear our point of view.
I think listening to the debates and talking to the TED Talks we have phases. You know, I used to talk about how leaving religion looks a lot like the stages of grief. There's definitely an anger phase, and that's where this concept of angry atheism comes from. And I think there's a phase where watching debates and reading and TED Talks is an important part of your activism or what you're involved with. It certainly was for me. But here in 2014, I'm not as interested in that as I used to be.
That's the same for me, too. As I look at the stuff that I take in, I used to watch more atheist YouTube channels. I used to look at debates. I used to check out other podcasts or television shows about atheism. And it just isn't there anymore for me. I look at the podcasts I listen to now, and none of them are about atheism. And the atheist podcast I do listen to is Us, and I'm on it now.
I think what I've been more leaning towards is, because in my capacity as an educator, I really like that kind of media. I love the new Curious George. It's all about investigating, using the scientific method to find out what happened.
This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Dave Moscato from American Atheists about Atheist TV.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communication succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And we're talking with Dave Moscato of American Atheist about Atheist TV. And Mike, you had a question.
Yeah, Dave. Like I said before we lost you, I know that most of these other Christian stations and networks have not only nonfiction, again, being generous content where they talk about Jesus and they debate the same things. But they also have dramatic, like Hallmark Channel type movies on there as well. I was curious if there are going to be dramatic presentations or films that you're going to be doing on Atheist TV.
Yeah, that's a great question. And right now, the answer is no, but we would love to offer things like that. It's just a matter of finding people who create that type of content and who would be in a position to license it to us. There's a lot of wonderful programming out there right now that has audiences that overlap very heavily with our demographic, shows like Doctor Who, shows like Star Trek, and so on. Those specific shows are already licensed to other networks, but we're working on getting people like Mr. Deity and shows like that to start working with our channel and to distribute that kind of content.
So, Dave, I was wondering, how long had this been in the works? You said that mostly this was made possible by, thanks to a donor, but how long have you been thinking about this?
The idea has been around for a couple of years. It's really just a matter of getting it together practically. And, this was Dave Silverman's idea about 2 years ago. And it was really just in the past about 6 months that we started to realize that this was something that we could do this year. And we made plans for it and made it happen.
All right, I have to ask, is there a musical show in the works as a musician?
Right now, I'm not sure. It really just depends on what content is we're able to get licensed for our channel. If you are interested in submitting an idea for a show that you, just to be clear, we're not a production company. We don't take ideas and turn them into shows. We license finished content.
Right.
But if you have content that you would like to license to us, if you email us at atheisttv@atheist.org, we can talk to you about that, and we would love to talk to people with broadcast quality professional recordings ready to go.
So if our listeners want to keep track of Atheist TV and it getting spun up, where would I send them?
Our website is the best place. Atheist.org is where we have everything set up. Eventually, we will have our own separate website just for this channel. But right now, our website, atheists.org, is the best place to go.
Dave Escoto is the Public Relations Director for American Atheists, an activist organization debuting an Atheist TV channel via the internet streaming service Roku this summer. Dave, thank you very much for your call. I'm glad we got you back, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks. No problem. So, yeah, I asked that music question because one thing I'm noticing is that a lot of people seem to think atheists are unmusical mooks. And
I think Dave Moscato himself is actually a musician.
Part of the reason I asked the question is because he is a musician. And I don't like the idea of atheist music, like Christian music.
I've heard that one turkey song you showed me, so yeah, I agree.
But to be fair, Shelley Siegel's concept album, an atheist album, quite innovative.
Point. Yeah, that's true. But I don't want to see it become like Christian music. I don't want it to see like
bad.
Yeah. Like, oh, I couldn't make it as a musician, so I'm just going to make music for atheists. There's a lot of stuff in Christian metal that does that. Trust me, on this one, I kind of know where I'm speaking. But I would like to have some musical content because there is an artistic side to the atheism community.
Atheists aren't just all robots.
Yeah,
who are actually creative.
We're not all genetic engineers. We're not all engineers. There are artists among us.
That's the reason that I want something other than simply TED Talks and debates all over this, because the stereotype people have of us is that we're all Mr. Spock and that anything beautiful has no purpose, so it must be eliminated until we have nothing but pure black and white and evidence and facts and science, and we have no sense of beauty or art or literature. And it's like, no, we have all that stuff too. We just don't pretend that it's real.
Don't pretend that it's bestowed by God. We don't pretend that it's
magic. Yeah. You know, we don't need to do that, but we still enjoy music. We still can have this soaring sense of wonder when we look at nature or at a beautiful painting or hear music that can, I guess, I know that they use the word transcendent, even though we're not using that in a literal sense here, but saying that
it moves you.
You can be moved emotionally.
Yeah.
And that just because I can't put it into ones and zeros, that it doesn't have value. Enjoyment and contentment is an end unto itself.
Right.
The problem, though, is not giving those emotions and those feelings supernatural scapegoat
Carl
reasons.
Sagan in Contact called it the numinous, and I actually kind of, I really like that word. He didn't coin it, but that's kind of what he's calling it, that sort of feeling that people would describe as spiritual, but isn't really. It's just, it's a feeling of the numinous.
And you can feel that without pretending that there's magic there.
Exactly. And I do.
Unless it's a magic school bus.
Unless it's a magic school bus. So there's a news story that Mike really, really wanted to do.
Oh, yes.
And this is going to be a fun one. Former evangelical leader Frank Schaeffer has recently penned a new book entitled Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God.
What?
Yeah. In interviews, Schaeffer stated that he believes anyone defining themselves in any particular way is either lying or deluding themselves. He even openly addressed Richard Dawkins, saying, "You are in the same boat I am in. You don't have any revealed truth either. I wish we could all just admit that. I embrace that paradox. That is the human condition. Deal with it." The one-time regular on the 700 Club turned self-described atheist, admits that he prays every day and attends church every weekend.
So when he labels himself as an atheist who believes in God, is he deluded or is he lying?
That's what I want to know.
I don't know if he's deluded, but he's definitely diluting.
It's the thing.
Diluting?
Yeah. Diluting. Well, he's diluting actual ideas into this mess and soup of nonsense.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty and it sounds so deep. He's basically Deepaking it right now. I'm an atheist who believes in God. You're like, wow, that sounds deep. But it's like meringue.
Right.
It's tasty and it's sweet, but it's mostly air.
Right. That diluting, that's my Chicago accent coming in.
Yeah. What I think he's going for here is saying, hey, look, here's a huge population that is identifying as non-religious, maybe even atheist, but saying like, hey, kids, you can be an atheist and go to church every week.
Hey, kids! Do-do-do-do.
But why would you?
Yeah. Now, there's a lot about this that he gets right. I mean, like we say on the show, atheism is a statement of belief. Agnosticism is a statement of knowledge. We don't have knowledge. My dad would be completely in line with what this guy is saying up until the point where he says he's an atheist who doesn't believe in God. We stick to a very clear definition of atheism here on the show. It's got two words in it.
No God.
Yeah. And
I'm a left-handed person who uses my right hand entirely. But that's the thing, is that you get into this too. I've seen that Christian Atheist is the name of a book I've seen at work. I work at various bookstores over the years. And what does Christian atheist mean? You're like, well, you believe in God, but you live like he doesn't. So a lot of these, you know, woo-woo type religious type people don't use atheist with that two-word definition that we're talking about. They use it as a person who lives without, you know, some sort of moral authority or, you know, they're using all these definitions. They're trying to water this word down that has such a simple explanation until it means nothing. You can't be an atheist who doesn't believe in God, because that's what an atheist is.
But going back to our first conversation on the show, we generally believe people when they call themselves an atheist, but this guy saying, I'm an atheist, the definition of atheism is doesn't believe in God, but he says, I pray every day and go to church.
Okay.
I'm going to say that this guy is not an atheist.
I'm a capitalist who believes that workers should control the means of production. So it means no sense. Let's just make up words.
Well, after that, I would like to acknowledge, though, that we do say, like, hey, maybe if you don't go to church, maybe if you don't live your life as if someone is watching over you, maybe if you don't guide your actions based on any kind of holy book or dogma, but then you say, but I'm not an atheist. It's okay to say, you know what, you kind of are, functionally, pragmatically, whatever you want to label yourself, that's okay.
Yeah.
You want to say that you're a spiritualist?
Okay, fine. I like to think that people have the right to label themselves if they choose to. Like and if somebody calls themselves an atheist, I'm generally going to believe them. But there's a point where there's a breaking point. Saying I'm an atheist and then going to church every week.
And saying I believe in God and
I'm
an atheist.
No, you're not an atheist. No. So I got a question.
Okay.
Christian atheism is really a thing?
It's not really a thing. It's the title of a book that someone used to sell a book.
Oh, okay.
To say that I'm somehow deep, it's basically the way some people use the word agnostic, which is they use it as a bludgeon to attack people on two perceived sides of a debate so they can feel superior.
I could see Christian atheism being kind of like humanistic atheism humanistic Christianity.
Right. Well, I think you could also say that there is a cultural Christianity if you live your life on cultural cultural values and you know, sort of like Anglican Church. At this point in England, you have 50% of the general population saying, I subscribe to no particular religion, even though they might still go to the Anglican Church, you know, once a month or whatever. That could be cultural Christianity, where everyone is functionally an atheist. So there could be that. But I don't think there's specifically an atheist Christianity or a Christian atheism.
But the biggest pile of malarkey in all of this is I'm looking at him openly addressing Richard Dawkins, and this is his quote: "You are in the same boat as I am. You don't have any revealed truth either." Richard Dawkins has never said he has revealed truth. Yeah. There are a lot of dumb things we've called Richard Dawkins on over the years, and other things that we can say, hey, that's a pretty cool thing. But he has never pretended that he has revealed truth.
Yeah.
Only religious people pretend to have revealed truth, because what reveals it to them? Supernatural forces.
Even on the Dawkins scale, the scale he invented about how much you believe or disbelieve in God, he doesn't peg himself entirely on one side of that scale. He says there, you know, he says he has doubts. He doesn't believe in that revealed, yeah, like you said, that revealed information.
There is no revelation of there is no God.
Right.
I am reminded of a Mitchell and Webb little bit where they slice open a watermelon. And,
oh, yeah.
And, no God inside of the
yes,
seeds.
The seeds are in the shape of letters that say no God. That would be revealed truth about atheism.
That's the part that I find so ridiculous about this, is that in saying that, he right off the bat tells us that he doesn't actually understand the arguments of the people that he's opposing.
Yeah.
Because he's basically going the same thing we always say before, which is so many religious groups who try to rap with us, they turn their chair around and swing their leg around so they could sit down and talk to the atheists, have no clue how to talk to us, because they simply assume that they just take what they believe and change all the nouns and think that oh, okay, well, their holy book must be On the Origin of Speech. Species, and their prophet must be Darwin, and the head of their pope must be Richard Dawkins. So let's just change all the nouns, and they believe in science instead of God.
And our revealed truth is the Bible given to us by God. Their revealed truth must be that someone has revealed to them that there is no God.
There was a program written in for Mac OS, and I forget what it's called, and I'm going to have to go find it, but you could give it a religious text of any religion, and then it had a drop down for different religions, and it would do exactly that. It would swap out Bible for Torah or Quran or the collected writings of Kim Jong Un or Kim Jong Il.
Yeah, Kim Jong Un has maybe written a pamphlet by now.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people think this is. Everybody believes the same stuff. They just use different words. Demonstrably not true. So we do have a final story to do real quickly. A recent study published in the journal Social Currents has concluded that mentioning religious or non-religious affiliation on a resume negatively affects the response from potential employers. Researchers sent out 9,600 resumes throughout the southern United States, with 3,200 linking the applicant with one of seven affiliations, including non-religious groups and a fictitious religion called Wallonian. Resumes mentioning religious or non-religious affiliation received 29% fewer emails and 33% fewer phone calls than the control group, with Muslims and atheists receiving the fewest communications overall. The resumes of Jewish applicants were the only ones to receive no discernible discrimination.
And these are resumes that specifically say, hey, my past experience is organizing for the Jewish Community Center summer camp, thereby, you know, somewhat revealing your religious affiliation.
My question for you guys, is this a problem?
It is and it isn't. On one regard, it's a problem that, here's an example. I worked on this show and with various organizations for 4 years.
Right.
I'm talking about atheist groups. I was on the board of Seattle Atheists. I have production experience and writing experience and radio experience being on Ask an Atheist. I can put none of this on my resume.
Right.
I can put none of it, because all it takes is one person in one HR center or one person who looks at it who just goes, yeah, no, because you're one of those people.
Right.
Where I think that the stigma for someone who says, oh, I used to lead a youth group, is slightly different. I'm sure it does change it, because if I was looking at it, I think what I would be looking at in terms of resumes and things is this someone who can be a potential HR problem?
Right.
And if this is somebody who is part of, I don't know, a really scary right-wing group, and they may be a problem with, say, customers if it's a retail job, and then maybe that might be an issue. But I would find that out through an interview rather than making that judgment on paper.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Per our law, you cannot discriminate in employment based on creed or religion, along with a bunch of other, things.
Oh, you with your lawfulness.
Oh, me with my lawfulness. And this isn't about that necessarily. And you can't ask that openly in an interview unless the person has brought it up as part of their resume. So you can ask a little bit more about, like, what was this organization and fundraising for the Jewish Community Center? And it was like, oh, it was, you know, whatever. It was summer camp. Versus, oh, what was your counseling position with your youth group? And you say, oh, it was to help five-year-olds protest, abortion in front of the state house with their mouths duct taped shut. And that's something that you can ask about as an employer, as a potential hirer, if they brought it up on their resume. Is it a problem? And is it, you know, atheists and Muslims, overall receive the worst discrimination? What this shows is that anytime you mention it, either that you're an atheist or you're religious, it does not bode well for you.
So I having been in the room while HR decisions were being made, I was, you know, once upon a time, I was actually a manager of something. I have seen people look at resumes like this. This wasn't a surprise to me. I've seen people look at resumes and go, oh, they listed some sort of weird church. Is this going to be a weird church guy? And the weird church was like the First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh or something really.
That's pretty innocuous.
Yeah, something pretty innocuous. And so every time somebody mentions a religion, a flag got raised. Again, is this going to be an HR problem? Is this guy going to go proselytizing to anybody?
Yeah.
And I can see I can see that people would think the same thing about the atheist community, because we do have atheist evangelists out there. Let's not lie.
Which is why I'd rather have it brought out during an interview rather than the prejudgment, because if I put Ask an Atheist on a resume and during an interview someone said, is there, I see that you are ideological, would there be a potential problem? Is this something that you talk about at work? You know, those sorts of questions are fine to ask, not judging me on that.
Right.
One of the questions I was asked when I took a retail job about 15 years ago was, is there anything in our store you would refuse to sell to a customer?
Right.
And I said no.
But there you go. I kind of wonder, though, isn't this, Becky, what we want? A world where the preference, the social preference, is just to leave religion out of it?
I think
might
so.
Might this be a step in that direction?
I think so. I think, though, that it does pose a difficulty for people that are very involved in their particular communities and then
exactly.
want to be able to say, hey, these skills I have gained will actually help me in my job with your company, with your establishment, whatever.
Exactly.
The other side
of
that.
Like, Sam, if you wanted to get a job running a radio station...
You're making it a hypothetical. I'm going to take it out of the hypothetical.
Okay.
I do put Ask an Atheist on my resume. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, the number of calls I got dropped about, I'd say 80%. But the problem is, Ask an Atheist is about the only thing I've been doing for the last 4 years, other than occasional contracts. So if I leave that out of my resume, people are going to go, where the heck have you been since 2010?
Exactly. And look at how many skills you've had to learn.
Yeah.
Technical and otherwise, to do this show, the sort of organizational stuff you had to do, the technical stuff, the stuff you've built, the expertise you have to tear all of that off your resume if that's not there. So, like I said, the answer is both yes and no.
Yeah. So that's all the time we've got for today. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. You can go to our, you can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. I've got a bunch of people to thank. Becky, Mike, thanks a bunch. Thanks to Dave Moscato. Thanks to Dave, Sean, and Becca for doing the writing. Thank you to Chris Coleman and Phil Whitfield for the music. And my technical assistants this week were Sharon and Nick. See you guys next week.